Where in the world did Cain get his wife? The answer to that and other questions on this edition of He Life.
Hi, I'm Mike Kellogg, and you are now listening to Key Life, where you can find honest answers to honest questions about God's Word. Now, here is Steve.
Thanks, Mike. My pastor, Pastor Pete, is in, Pete Alwinson. I very much appreciate, man, I know what your schedule is like, and you spend a significant portion of your time going around the country with Man in the Mirror Ministries, too, and some other things that you do. I don't know how you, you know, you ought to cut back someplace.
Well, I'm going to
get a divorce.
I'm going
to. Yeah, you really.
There's
you
not
really.
A comment that can follow that.
I do very much appreciate your taking your time coming in each week. Hey, listen, he comes in on Fridays and we answer questions together. We love to get your questions. You can send them to Key Life, Post Office Box 5000, Maidland, Florida 32794. Or Key Life Canada, Post Office Box 32150, Cambridge, Ontario, M3H5M3. Or you can email us at steve@keylife.org, but be sure and give us your regular mailing address if you want a response. You get a response from me or a staff member on the broadcast or in the magazine. And don't use the 1-800 number for questions. You can order Key Life tapes. You can ask for any of the free stuff that we offer. Or you can make a contribution, but you got to write a question down. And the only dumb one's the one you don't ask. Pete, why don't you lead us in prayer, and then we'll get to these questions.
Our Father, we do come into your presence today, Lord, and what a joy it is to laugh and to think about the good things that we have in you. Thank you that we're your daughters and sons. Thank you that we're your children forever. Thank you, Lord, that that everything that we've done, even though most of it has been bad, has been redeemed, and you've cleaned up our slate, our record. Thank you, Lord, that you don't look at us as dirty, rotten sinners, but you look at us as sons and daughters, beloved, and that we, because of Christ, could call you Daddy, Abba. We worship you, and now we just, Lord, long for you to fill us with your sense of peace in our hearts. It's been a busy week. We look forward to being with your people and worship, and to thinking more about you and hearing a word from your leaders. And so we pray for them. We pray for those that will stand before us and lead us and stand and teach us. We pray for our priests, our pastors. Be with our pastors' wives and the families, Lord, that are in a fishbowl living in front of your people. Father, be with all of our teachers. Give them the message that you want them to say, and may they speak it clearly and boldly and yet kindly, Lord, with the grace that is found in Christ. Develop us as your people, Lord, and let us enjoy you, and then let us serve you out in the world. Father, we pray for Key Life and pray that you would continue to bless. Lord, provide all of the needs, the finances, the resources, health and strength for Steve. Father, we just commit all that to you. And we ask that you would continue to further this ministry for your honor and glory. We commit this time and these questions and answers to you as we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Before we get to this question, I think that's the first time I've ever seen you speechless. When I said, before people send us letters, I want you to know that I wouldn't even kid about something like divorce if Pete and Karen didn't have such a good marriage.
We really do have a good marriage, and it's not. And I am,
that's right.
I am gone. I'm gone a good bit, man. I just about lost it there, though.
And sometimes I put my mouth into action before I put my mind into gear, and it's just a flippant comment. So I know it. I've repented of it. I am really sorry.
You know,
I am wearing a hair shirt.
A lot of time, though.
Don't make it worse, Pete. Okay, let's turn to this. This is from New Jersey. Where did Cain's wife come from? Were there other people on earth aside from Adam, Eve, and Cain?
You know, did you ever ask that question when you first became a Christian?
Yeah, I did.
I did too. I was trying to think, why do people ask questions like this? And then I remembered I did.
Yeah.
It's a logical question to ask. And the only answer, really, is that is that it must have been his sister that early on God made provisions to protect the human race.
I agree.
There was no other way, and we don't see...
Yeah, there were many more children. If you bring in somebody else, then you mess up the whole superstructure of the Christian faith.
Exactly.
There's
the whole line.
Yeah, the whole idea of the fall. So it had to be a sister. And somebody said, wait a second, man, that's not cool. You got to remember the law about that came later, and the law was never given just for the fun of it.
Mm-hmm.
The law was given because that's the best way to live. And the gene pool had not gotten all kinds of bad things happening to it.
Mm-hmm.
And so you got to know that was a different situation. That doesn't mean that it's okay to marry your sister.
That's right. It was God's provision then.
And only then.
Yeah. Apparently it was a given that that's the way it was supposed to happen. They didn't think it was weird.
Yeah.
So
good answer. I've often wondered about that. This is from Colorado. Do believers still have a sin nature? If so, what changes when one becomes a Christian?
That's a good question.
Yeah, it is.
We're new creatures in Christ, Paul says. So we are new. Are we perfect? No. So in Christ, when we, therefore having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. When you believe in Christ, you're justified, that is, declared not guilty. But we're not made totally sanctified or perfect at that point, are we? That old nature is still in us, bouncing around, right? And so are three enemies of the world, the flesh and the devil.
Mm.
That flesh, that old nature. But I think Romans 6 helps us put it in perspective, because even though in 7 he says, man, sometimes I do what I don't want to do and I don't do what I ought to do, you know, I can relate to that. But in 6 he says, really that old nature is dead.
And we ought to reckon it, so.
And, yeah, we need to reckon it, so. So I can see why people get confused over this, but it's dead, and we need to reckon it that way.
It's like did you stop sinning when you became a Christian? No, but it quit being so much fun because of the Holy Spirit who's in us too. Also,
right? That's right.
You know, I think I had lunch with a young man who's going to become a good friend. He's a Baptist pastor, and I just love him. And we had lunch recently. And he was saying he quit just beating people over the head from the pulpit because they already knew they wouldn't be there.
Yeah.
And I think Christians have a super sensitive conscience. I think we're aware when we do things that aren't pleasing to him. We know that he'll love us anyway. And I think it's through that, the inworking of the Holy Spirit, reckoning ourselves dead, as you said, that we grow in Christ, the process of sanctification.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this helped when I first realized how bad my temper was when I first became a Christian. And somebody pointed that out to me and said, you don't have to keep doing that. And I said, well, they don't need to keep cutting in front of me in traffic. Really, the temper thing, I gained some victory over that when I realized, hey, you don't have to rule me.
And, you know, try something. What he just said is a wonderful spiritual exercise. If you've got a sin that you're struggling with right now, if you're a Christian, you know you want to get rid of it. I mean, in your better moments, sometimes you don't, but in your better moments, you want to. So say to yourself, I don't have to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't have to do that anymore.
That's right.
And that's a wonderfully freeing statement built on the fact of Romans 6 and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit throughout the New Testament. So that's good. That's good stuff. Let me see if we got... Well, this is pretty complicated. In what ways is it possible for a Christian to be unequally yoked? Can it also apply to business partnerships? How much involvement should Christians have with non-Christians? And this is from Canada. And Pete, you know, I know you address businessmen all over the country, and I'd be interested in how you apply that and then the other things that are being said here.
Well, you know, that's from 2 Corinthians 6. And we looked it up before this to make sure, because we're checking, is the context marriage?
Yeah.
That's where it's most often brought up.
Yeah.
The context really is not marriage, it's relationships, period.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, my father-in-law, Jim Covault, down in Miami years ago explained that, you get into business, a private, you know, a smaller company with a pagan, it could be very, very difficult, and that this text applies. And I agree with him. But, you know, there's many, many business arrangements, as you were saying, that we get in. If I'm working for IBM, for instance, this may be more difficult to actually... But I think we need to be careful because in business we make decisions about what to do with the money. You might have a Christian, view of, hey, we're going to tithe the corporation's money or whatever.
You know, I have a friend in Miami, Michael Joyce, who asked me after he became a Christian, told me he had pulled a C.S. Lewis one Sunday morning, and he said, I'm a Christian. What am I going to do about all my friends? Man, they don't know Christ. And I said, well, tell them. He said, but they're not going to believe it. He said, what am I going to do about them? Should I still be friends? I said, no, be their friends, but they won't be yours. and you know, there's a thing that happens. Yeah. You know, there are some pagans I like better than some Christians, to be perfectly honest with you. Mm-hmm. But I can't have a deep, long, abiding relationship with them, even if I want to.
Yeah.
Because there's a certain point at which it just won't go any deeper.
Yeah. Yeah. And then if you're in this business arrangement, they can bind your hands.
Yeah.
So that you can't do what maybe the Lord is leading you to do, and you might end up getting out of that business anyway.
So Paul's saying, this is very wise. Certainly in marriage, obviously. But you can apply that in other places. That doesn't mean you shouldn't be nice or kind or have acquaintances that are friends,
mm-hmm.
or go to a movie with a pagan or anything like that.
Right.
Because Paul specifically in Corinthians said, no, that's not what I meant.
Exactly.
But we've got to be careful. If I get too close to a pagan, I got to ask myself, what did I sell out to do that?
Uh-huh.
And there's always an answer to that.
That's good.
Mm-hmm.
That's really good. And I think that, you know, in the context of teaching our kids, that is something that maybe the church is not doing as strongly as it should to remind and to really do what we can to encourage our kids to marry in the faith.
I'll give you another question. This is from Pennsylvania. Is there any truth or value to the advice Job's friends gave him?
Boy, that's a creative...
It really is. And I've thought about that a lot, because, yeah. I spent about 18 years teaching Job.
That's right.
And, I'm
on Wednesday nights.
I was listening to these things that these friends were saying, and I was saying, I believe I've said that a lot of times.
That's right.
There is some. I mean, it's not that what they're saying is wrong.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that they said a lot of things, but they tended... The reason why God nails them at the end... Now, you check me if I'm wrong on this... The reason God nails them at the end of the book is because they missed the primary point, and that was just because Job was going through hell.
Yeah.
It wasn't because he had sinned, and they were making that a one-to-one correspondence.
That's right. That's true. So in that sense, they were wrong.
Yeah.
But in some of the specific things they said, there was a mix of truth and error. We can't look at it like inerrant teaching we apply to ourselves.
Yeah.
But there's some wise stuff that they say.
Absolutely. And so how would you go about figuring out which is good and what isn't?
Yeah.
From what they said.
By the rest of the Bible.
There you go.
Okay. Guys, we're out of here. Whenever you write or call, and do write or call, be sure and give us the call letters of this great station. Oh, yes. Key Life is a production of Key Life Network.